All right, let's go.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Don Cherry's Grapevine Podcast. Cindy Cherry here with my dad, Don, and my brother, Tim. Dell's away on vacation, and Tim's manning the shop.
So if it doesn't sound good, it's my fault.
That's right. It's your fault, Tim. You know, Dad, Mitch Marner, I mean, from a woman's perspective here, I hear Mitch Marner got engaged, so...
Yeah, we saw it on the internet, so it must be true.
Yeah, so anyway, that led, of course, to a woman's discussion as, how much should a guy making $10 million plus a year spend on an engagement ring? And I asked you that, and you know what? I was pleasantly surprised on how much money you said. I thought you were going to be really, really lowball it, like my brother did. And how much did you say?
I never went with anybody in my life till I went out with Rose. Mm-hmm. And I drove back and I worked on public utilities in Kingston. I worked on construction. I was a jackhammer, the whole deal. And I'd walk by Kinnear and Destier. I can't even pronounce it, but I remember it was a classy place. The outside was black and gold, and it was just a small place, and you walked in there, you kind of felt funny.
It was a beautiful store, and
you walked in there, everything was quiet. Like, I never went in my construction. I got dressed, dressed up as best I could, and I went down and looked all the time, and I think Rose liked that when we drove by, and I said, that's where I bought your ring, because it really looked classy.
So can you remember how much you spent? Because I know there's probably a formula out there for percentage of your income.
How do we get into this?
But anyway, Mitch Marner's getting engaged, they said. So anyway, we
weren't. I think that's great. He's getting married, and I would spend $1 million.
Well, you know what your son said? How much?
$10,000.
$10,000.
$10,000. Yeah, he's making ten. No, ten.
And you know what? Tim's wife and me, I said the exact same amount. Minimum, $100,000.
And I said $1 million.
$1 million.
I don't want to get into
that. One funny thing, though, I got to say, Dad, was when we were watching Marner play in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
And he wasn't doing very well. You know what Dad said to me? He looks like he's in love.
Oh.
I did.
You did? That's what you said. I don't know. He says, I've seen it before. You know what it looks like? I go, what? He goes, it looks like he's in love. His man's not on the game.
You know what?
You've said that a couple times in the past. I remember you said that one time about a Mississauga ice dog. And here to find out, we were at the coffee. And you said, he reminds me of a guy that's in love. And the guy was dating my babysitter. And everyone looked at me.
I remember two guys. When we went to the Boston Bruin camp in Hershey, there was two guys. One was Jimmy Robertson. I, God love him, he's dead now. He was a guy that we must talk about Jimmy Robertson someday. He was in love. And Freddie Pletch. And they were both, you out of your mind. You got a chance to make the Boston Bruins. And they were both in love. And you can tell the guys, not quite there. And they were better hockey players. And they can hardly wait to get home.
So that is a syndrome of a hockey player, that they play like they're in love.
I don't know about Marner. But
you said it, well, you said it half jokingly. When he flipped the puck into the over the boards and got to
penalty, yeah.
And Dad goes, where is his mind? He's like, it looks like he's in love or something like that. That's what you said.
Is that what I said? Yeah. So I said $1 million. Well, I'm glad I said $1 million to make you happy. Sonny.
Yes, that's true.
I know a lot of people don't know that the league is starting up again. I know. And
what's
like
the date? Do they have a fixed date?
The NHL, and I wrote it down, October 12th, and they're going to play 82 games. We played 80. They played an extra two, and it ends April 29th. I just thought I'd throw that in. A lot of people don't know. They think, are they going to start up again? They start early, I like this here. But they always have either us or the Montreal Canadiens open up a new arena. And New Jersey is in their old arena, and they're November 20th, they're in the new arena. So the Islanders, they'll I don't know. I think
the Islanders are in their new arena.
Yeah, the Islanders. So they're gonna miss that old arena, boy. That they people love that. There was lots of parking, and it was way around. So anyhow, we'll have to see. So I just thought I'd throw that in for the people listening. I tell you the truth, I didn't know that they were starting on October. I didn't know whether they were going to start early or they're going to start later. What?
Dab, I'd like to thank our sponsors, Spreads.ca. It's a Canadian-owned online casino and sports bet. And if you sign up today, you get 10 big spins on the big wheel to win some big dough. And if you use the promo Grapes, then they'll match your deposit up to $500. And your first sports bet, they'll spot you $25.
All right.
So I got to tell you one thing, though, Dad, about just talk about that. And we'll get into them a little bit later. After this show, I'm putting $50 on the Blackhawks winning the Stanley Cup.
Oh, what's the odds?
I don't know. I got to look at they were pretty far back, and I haven't checked them lately, but we'll talk about all their signings.
That's a good bet, and I'll tell you why it's a good bet. This is their last shot. I think Jonathan Toews is coming back. I hope he's coming back because he's a nice fellow. Kane knows this is the last, and they've got a good defenseman, boy. And
well, we'll just talk. Maybe we'll talk about them just for a second, yeah. Because we were just saying that they have two Kays and Tane have 2 years left on their contract.
Yeah.
Right. And they got that Seth Jones. They got the big stud defenseman.
He is a beauty. I'll tell you that.
And then they got Fleury.
They get Fleury, and I hope Fleury comes back. Fleury's going to come back with a chip on his shoulder to show that
which is what you want.
Well, I didn't like the way he left Vegas. All he's done for Vegas, he made the franchise the first couple of years.
But you and I were talking about this yesterday, and you said the thing with Kelly McCrimmon not sending him, you know, supposedly not telling him, and all that was that stemmed back when Fleury's agent had that picture of the sword in his back.
That was unbelievable. I showed that on Hockey Night in Canada, didn't I?
No, that was after.
Oh, it was after. I remember that. It showed a sword going right through his back. I mean,
and it had Peter DeBoer on the sword, so basically saying that that DeBoer was stabbing.
There was bad. There shouldn't have been bad feelings there because he did such a great job the first couple of years, and you're right, Seth Jones, boy, he is a stud guy. He plays about 45 minutes a game, and they got Jake McCabe.
Yeah,
I got him from Buffalo for $4 million, and I hope Fleury comes back just to.
Yeah, I think they said they think I was reading the stuff on the internet that he's coming back, but it was funny. We were just looking, Cindy, at Kays and Tane, Tays and Kane's lifetime earnings.
And oh yeah, what was it? I forget now.
So they both made just about the same lifetime.
They both went in together.
So they both have made playing hockey $105,762,000. That's been their lifetime.
Don't you often wonder what that feels like to make that kind of money? Like to know that you could go into a store and buy anything you want. I mean, I just can't grasp it.
I know.
We were trying to think, Dad. So if you averaged 6,500 over the 18 years.
No, I averaged about 4,500.
Okay, so even be less. That's around $100,000 you made playing hockey. If it was 6,500, it was 117,000. So it was.
No, I remember I made 4,500. I remember signing for $4,500, and I remember Lynn Patrick taking. We went to the bank together. Honest, I got to remember this. And we went over and we put it in the bank. And I often said to you, Cindy, if I had bought Hershey stock then.
Because someone told you to buy Hershey stock.
Yeah, somebody said that you should put all that money in them. So I come back and I had an old car. And I remember, I forget the guy's name, Chris, Mr. Eves, I think it was, drove up a 55 custom Ford, and it was light blue inside, And did it ever smell nice? You know how they smell. Like. Yeah. And he said, now, which car would you like? He got me out of bed. I was sleeping in.
Well, you do what most kids would do. You bought a, yeah. went out and bought a car.
What happens is, and back in those days, the first thing you do is buy a car. And I, you know what?
I never regretted
buying that car. I had that car for a long time. It was absolutely blue. Light blue. It was a custom. And it wasn't the most expensive. And it had a light blue cloth interior. Boy, it was nice.
Well, you never made a lot of money, but you always had nice clothes and you always had nice cars.
You know, it's a funny thing you say that. I was riding with Jack, forgot his name now, general manager. I forgot his name. And we're riding, and so he said, Don, you know, I'll remember his name. I'll mention it. And he says, you don't mind me saying this, do you, Don? And I...
Uh-oh, that's never good.
No, you know... So he says, I know your salary. And I said, and he says, but you always are dressed nice.
Even back then.
Well, it was funny because we were watching some home movies the other day.
Yep.
And like back in Rochester.
Eight millimeter
things. And my wife said, he goes, your mom and your dad and you and Cindy were always dressed nice. And you always seemed to have nice cars back then.
I don't know how we did it.
Yeah, that's what I said. How did mom do it?
I always think of that for the money that you made. I look back and we always had lots of food. We were beautiful furnished homes. I don't know how you and mom, I guess mom knew how to glorify hamburger.
Well,
you know what? I mean, she was a champ at cooking. And
yeah, we used to make that hamburger health for a lot.
Yeah, and Salisbury steak.
But you know what? You know what I did? I come home from Kingston on a Friday. And the public utilities were good enough to start me on. I'd start to work Monday, so we had money coming in all the time, and it was tough work. And we had Bell Price, and I used to be on the jackhammer. And you know, it's a funny thing. I never got any higher than a laborer, and he ended up a boss, Melville Price. And he was him and Brian Killery. I got a call from Brian Killery yesterday. You know what? I think he wanted to see if I was still alive.
You get a lot of calls from people and all this saying hi.
What they say is, how are you doing, Don? And, you know, and I'm doing fine, you know, and I'm having a lot of fun. But, they say they listen to the podcast. So, anyhow, I got a call from Brian. Brian Killery's doing good. We should do about three shows.
You know what? A lot of people come up to me and say, you know, your dad reminds me of my dad so much. But I never say that. For only one person, and that's Brian Killery. I said he reminds me. He's like you on steroids, though. I mean, you take your personality, and he's like one step above.
And Whitey Smith, Captain Whitey Smith.
Oh, yep. I love Brian Killery. He's such a great guy.
Yeah, and anyhow, he phoned and he says everybody asked me in Ottawa how you're doing. And I said, I'm doing fine. So I tell them I'm doing fine. I often wonder if they asked if, you know, anyhow. And I have a lot of fun. And Tim, I want you to tell me if I want to make a bet. I want to make a bet. Like I want to bet Chicago too. What do you do to get on our?
So to get on it, you go on to. The website, spreads.ca, and then you hit, you know, sign in, and then you do your name and you do a password. And then once you get through that, then you have to put a deposit down of money. So you could do that through your credit card.
No, I don't understand that. What do you mean put a deposit down?
Well, you got to put money.
Like if you want to bet on Chicago.
You got to put money into your account.
Oh, I see.
So an account, and then you can bet whatever you want.
Oh, I got it.
So you put it in your account.
Not hard.
No, it's very, it takes you 5 minutes if that, and then you go on, and then you can go on the casino, and you can play all the different video games, casino-wise, you can play live blackjack, it's unbelievable, or you go on the sports book, and then you can bet on all, just about every sport that's out there.
So I want to go on, I go on your internet, or whatever you do, what do you do again?
You go on spreads.ca. And then you sign in, and then you put a deposit down into your kitty, and then you just go and you go into the sports book and you look and you hit hockey, and then they'll have Stanley Cup odds, and then you see Chicago, and then you push Chicago, and then you...
You got to, as they said, be reasonable and don't get carried away like Evander Kane.
Yeah, well, we won't get into that.
Why?
Well, you want to get into that?
Sure.
Well, did you read what happened? Now he's in trouble. They think that he's bet on his...
Well, they don't know. He bet on his team, and his wife has buried him. I mean, she boy, I don't know what else she could say about him. What did she say?
Oh, it was just awful that he took off and hasn't talked to him, and just allegedly, right? We'll say allegedly.
Allegedly. Did I ever tell you this story? This guy, Nancy Green, I had to say, she was very upset about I said some guy was a creep. She said, "You're not supposed to say that." And I said, "Well," and she said, "You can say he's alleged creep."
Allegedly a creep.
And you know, I never forget Nancy Green. You know, there's a picture of me and Ron, and I've got my thumb up and I've got my finger out, like, you know. And they that picture, they had blocked out my finger because it looked like a gun.
I remember that.
Well, we'll get off topic. We'll talk about some of the signings coming up. But with Nancy Green, she fired you. Remember the whole story?
Oh, yeah.
She you've been fired about three times with CBC. But
I was fired about
that. But she fired you, and then one event happened, changed her mind.
We were going down. For some reason, she was on the plane with me, and we flew to Halifax. And I landed in Halifax, and all the people, I can milk it pretty good. And they all come, you know, get my autograph. She's, "Holy smokes, if I fire this guy." And then, to top it all off with, as we talk here, I just remembered, she had a friend, and her friend said, "My kids won't go to bed till they see you." I knew, so she didn't fire me. I think she wanted to fire me.
Well, there was a lot of producers.
No, she told you, this is your last year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember she told me.
And what's your tagline? When all the producers always
we'll
said,
see.
Well, we'll see. that's your tagline.
I remember I had a meeting. It was down at Blue Jay Way. And why I was doing down there, I don't know. And I walked in, and all the guys knew me there and everything.
Probably your bar. You had a bar down there.
I don't know, Blue Jay Way.
Yeah.
And it was a guy named Harold Redekoff. Yeah, he was the head of the CBC or one of the...
Yeah, he was one
he
of
was
the
head... way up there.
He was one of the head guys.
Yeah, and he was retiring. I remember he was retiring. And he was sitting there, and I remember he was sitting to my right, and she was sitting across, and I remember they had bran muffins, which was good, and coffee. So I remember the one thing he said to me, he said something to the effect like this: "I am retiring in about 3 or 4 months." He says, "And my legacy is to get rid of you." And he said that to me, and I looked at her.
They remember what he said after that, though.
Yeah, and I said, and just what I said was just drove him wild. He just went nuts. And I thought it was funny. Yeah, it must have been nuts. I must have been nuts in those days. I said, "Well, we'll see."
Yeah, but he said... And you go something like that, and he goes, "And you know what? I'm retiring." And he says,
"Oh yeah."
He goes, he says, "When the shit hits the fan," he says, "I'll be on my cottage in Amherst Island, and I won't care."
And I don't care. And he says, and "I know it'll hit the fan." And he says, "But I don't care because I'll be on my island." I think all those left wingers go to that island
at Amherst Island down around Kingston.
Yeah, right? I think all the left wingers.
And then. They didn't fire you.
No, and you know what? Here, now that we're on that, and again, Scott Moore was going to fire me. This is a true story. Hey, I'm going to get fired an awful lot, aren't I? So anyhow, he was going on. He was on the plane with me too, and we stopped, I think, in Edmonton. And you know, there's people that come up and all that. And I think it was Halifax again. Now that I think of it, and. I remember, he said, "Holy," he says, "I'll be noted for two things." He says, "Yeah, if I fire you, I'll be noted for two things. I get rid of the song, you know, that dun, 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 dun." And he said, "I lost the song and I lost you." He says, "That'll be my legacy for CBC."
Yeah, because when you used to walk through the airports at the time, I mean, you were like a rock star, you and Ron. Like, you guys just, you guys, if you guys stopped, you were dead. And the people
used to be like in The Man Who Would Be King, brass it out. And you know, one time, I remember this is I could 100 times. Ron went and got a shoe shine, and I was left down below. And, you know, the people coming up asking for autographs. And he sat on the shoe shine.
I remember you had a big debate on that shoe shine thing. You didn't like when people stopped and got their shoes shined because you thought it was demeaning to the shoe shiner.
Yeah, I don't know what it was.
And then his theory was that he was helping them out and giving the guy
a
living. I remember the best thing was when you were being interviewed by Rick Mercer at Fabricland.
Oh, yeah.
And at the end of the whole interview, he said, "So, Don, how do you think it's all going to end?" And you remember what you said? It was classic.
No.
You know, again, two words, man, a few words, not well. And that was the end of the show. And I look back at that. If anyone wants to Google that interview, that was you at Fabricland picking out fabric for your suits.
I know.
It was great. It's one of the best shows I think he ever did, even
though
it was
on my dad.
You know,
it's a funny thing. I walk in Fabricland. Honest to God, this is a true story. I walked in. I knew there had to be roll after roll after roll after roll of different
fabric.
Fabric. And I knew which one he picked out.
It was unbelievable.
I could see it in the district, and I picked it out.
No one would have believed that, Dad.
And that's true. And I think the funniest thing, and we couldn't keep him from laughing, or I didn't mean it to be laughing. He said, in Fabricland, he said, "Well, I'll pay for this." I said, no, use my card.
Well, the funny part was that when they were buying the material and this, and you said, "No, use my card," because you had a membership club.
Yeah.
You were belonging to the membership
club.
And
he thought that was the funniest thing.
He thought it was a prop. And I really, he did. He couldn't believe that
had.
Oh, yeah. He said, he goes, "I cannot believe that your dad would have a membership discount card, Fabricland."
I think I got 10% off.
Yeah, you got 10%.
Well, you got points, too.
Percentage off.
I know.
Remember the fabric, and they had a custom-made jacket for it.
Yeah.
What was it of? It was beautiful.
Oh, I don't know.
It was zebra.
Oh, was it?
You picked it out, and they couldn't believe that is what they had picked out, and they gave you a zebra jacket. I wonder if do you still have it?
No, they made it for him.
Yeah, they gave it to Dad, yeah. Do you still have that jacket?
I don't know. I forget. I got nothing.
Well, you should tell the people how you ended up in Fabricland.
How did I end up?
Well, how it was that you went to it wasn't the Coop, it was another store that you were going to, and they charge, you get your jackets, and then you look for the material, right? And the material was like $1,000 for the material.
Yeah.
And then you went to reupholster your car, and you went into Fabricland because you wanted to see, and then you saw the exact same material, and you said to the lady, "Now, if I was going to make a suit out of that material, how much would it be?" And she says, I don't know, $200. You went, "What?"
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was it. So I remember you come home, and you look, and you remember you said to Mom, get that bill for me. So you looked, and it was like $1,000. They charged you $1,000
for the fabric.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then you saw it. It was $200. So that was it. You went and bought all the fabric after that.
Yeah.
And you used to say to them, "Tell me how many yards you need in order to make a jacket." And you would go to Fabricland, and you get the swatches, and then they would, of what you would like, and they'd say, and they would tell you, "Yes, we can make a jacket out of this. No, we can't." And remember, most of the material was a woman's dress material.
Yeah, they were women's. Well, they were for women's and
a dress material
or
drapes
or whatever.
Do you know that when we were out west at the WHL hockey games, they have this thing in between periods. You know how they have to entertain the people, and they put these monster things on the ice. And the question is, is this a couch? The material, is this a couch or Don Cherry's jacket? And the fans in the audience have to say couch. They have to vote couch or Don Cherry's suit. And they have more fun with this entertainment in between periods.
You
know,
they did that at a Blue Jay game.
Do they do that at a Blue Jay game?
Yeah, they had it up on the thing.
Oh, I didn't know
is
that.
Is this a couch?
Yeah, they had a close-up of the material.
Yeah.
Is it a couch or is it a Don Cherry suit?
Oh, so WHL took it from the Blue Jays, or did the Blue Jays take it from the WHL? But anyway, first time I saw it, I thought it was hilarious.
You know, what one of the greatest thrills I got was, I was at a Blue, Tim, you were at the game too. We were watching the game, and And I think there was about 25,000-30,000 there. And they started to sing that, and they, up on the thing, they started to sing the hockey song with Stomp and Tom. And they all looked up at me. And I thought, boy, isn't that really, I got chills thinking, remember that, Tim?
Yep.
Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight.
Okay, Dad, so what's your thought on the free agency? What's the update?
I have to talk to Leafs. You got David Kanef. Has anybody noticed, am I the only person that noticed that everybody that Dubas picks up is from Ontario or Canada, and everybody he drafts is from Europe? I mean, am I the only one that, I haven't read that in the paper. Every guy's from Scarborough, anyhow, we got Peter Mrazek. He's from the Canes. He's a goalie. He played 12 games last year. He got $3 million, and he's making
So he's a goalie. Two. Are they going to play him next year, or do they?
Well, he'll be the backup.
Backup.
I like Michael Bunning. He's from Arizona. He got 13 points. He plays a tough game. David Kanef. How do you say that?
But yeah, Kanef, you said it already. So Curtis Gabriel, he's going to add some grit. He's 6'4". He fought Reeves last year, and he fought Clifford. So he's
they're going to be tougher this year. Nobody's going to walk in.
So the guys that they pick up in free agency are tougher than the guys that they draft. So maybe the coach or someone says, "Hey, you better toughen up this team because of your drafts."
Well, I don't know.
Would that make sense?
Well, there are a lot of them from the Sioux, and
the big signing that you like was Richie.
Oh, I like, now Richie, this is a good signing, and I forget, what was he making?
Nick Richie, he's making...
from Orangeville?
Yeah, he's from Orangeville. I think he's making, he's signing for 2 years, it's $2.5 million a year. So
and his brother, you know, he comes from a good stock, and I like those guys, and he'll play, I hope he puts them with... I hope he puts him with Marner and Matthews.
But, boy, here's the thing, Dad, that's strange. He got 15 points last year.
Yeah.
Or 15 goals, I should say, Richie. And he played a little bit. He didn't play in the first power play. He played on the second power play. And, you know, didn't play with Pasternak. He didn't play with the big stars. And he got 15 goals. And they signed him for $2.5 million a year. And I'm not knocking Zach Hyman, but Zach Hyman got 15 goals, and he played with the Rocket Richard winner and a first wing line arm start, and both got 15
goals. And he's going out and play with McDavid.
Now he's playing with McDavid, and he's playing with Dreisaitl, and he got 7 years, $39 million.
Like, I don't get it.
You're comparing the two? Yeah, I think you can, really.
Salary is a good indication of what people think of you, isn't it?
Well, you know, another team that I think is really going to be good this year is Ottawa. They signed Michael Delzato. You get 2 years, $2 million. Nick Holden, you got 3 years, and he's 6'4". And
he played well. He had 7 points in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, he got 7 points in the playoffs. Montreal, I the guy they got is I really like is Mike Hoffman. First year he hasn't scored 20 goals. In 7 years, seven straight years, he got 20, it's automatic next year. They got David Savard, Montreal.
Well, you think that was in because they think that Weber will be out for a long time, but he's a pretty good defenseman.
Yeah, and Vancouver, the guy I like they got is Connor Garland. And they got him from, they're going to pay a lot of money for him. He got 5 years, $5 million a year. Luke Shen, they signed again, 2 years at $850, and Travis Hamonic re-signed, and Brandon Sutter's re-signed, and Halak. I mean, I think the pressure is now. I think the general manager did a good job, and now is on Travis Green. You've got all the players. If you don't get a lot of injuries, you better do something this year.
Yeah, and they're not in a strong division. Their division's pretty weak, so they should be able to.
Funny, it used to be you went out west, they call it the trip of doom.
Yeah.
And if you went out west, not now. No. You can hardly wait.
Can
to
I ask
get
a question with players and, you know, how they feel and all that? When you're, you know, obviously their salaries are all, you know, public and all. Do players ever resent other players for the amount of money that they make?
Well, I never did. I
You didn't got, resent if no. one guy? No?
We don't, I was just happy
with their
my,
wives. And
well,
their
no, we didn't know.
You didn't know, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You didn't know. Look at how public all their salaries are now.
I remember, I remember the president, and he was a general manager, and he said, Don, I was making $4,500. He says, I'm putting you up to $6 million. Oh, $6 million, I wish it was $6,000. I said, holy smokes, I'm making $6,000. So you know what he told me after I coached the Bruins? He said, Jack Ryan, that's not right. What was his name?
So now you've made it. You're coaching the Bruins.
Oh,
So this
matter.
Was, what, 20, 30
yeah,
years ago?
Yeah, it doesn't
ago.
Matter. He says, you know why I give you $6,000? He says, the lowest rookie coming from Toronto was making $6,000. There's no way I was letting you, 10 years you've been in the league, I was going to let you make $4,500, which was pretty good.
Well, didn't you say one time Punchimolak offered you a contract in Springfield?
I remember that like it was yesterday. I walked into and there was Punch sitting back of the desk. It was all dark. I don't know why it was dark. Maybe that's why. So I walked in. I must have been a punk. I must have been a punk. That's the only thing I can think of. I was a punk. I really was. And so he sat down and he said, Don, you know, and he went on to give his fellow spill. So I signed and he said, don't you want to argue with me? I said, you going to give me any more? And he said, no. I said, well, then what's the sense arguing with you? I must have been a punk, though. I mean, imagine coaching me. Anyhow.
So what were the dynamics there? Punch was the coach, and where was
coach?
Your...
He was a coach and general manager, and he was signing for the Boston Bruins.
Oh, I see.
And he ran the club. And I remember when Shore come down on the... Shore couldn't stand it any longer. He come down and tell us to bend our knee. And I remember him and Punch getting into an argument.
Really?
Yeah.
Because there had to be a clash of the power of people between Punch Imlach and Eddie Shore.
Well, Eddie Shore had already sold the club, but he still thought he had the club.
Oh, it's the old story, yeah.
And Punch really gave it to him, and he gave it to Punch. And boy, we...
What was Punch saying that he was angry? Like what?
Just never mind. You leave the pairs alone. I'll run the players. I'm running this practice. You're not running it.
Oh,
I remember what he said, boy. No, and we were in guys at home were owned by Shore. We were really amazed.
You were probably hard to wipe the smile off your face.
Oh no, we were still scared of him.